welcome your ears to episode number 206 of the Triple Option with RBKD on the horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming live all the time, when and wherever you may be. Live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. On today's show, to Stoops or not to Stoops? That is the question. Plus, more evidence that Bigfoot is real. Get your McDonald's bag ready for the weekend. And the baseball world loses a legend. Joined alongside by a lifetime Longhorn and card-carrying member of DBU, he's a mercenary mouthpiece, pop culture critic, and the one they call Blackstradamus. He is also the inventor of the Corona Kit. He is Rod Babers. Rod B, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank God it is a football Friday, and let us all be thankful for that, because there's not many football Fridays left, gentlemen. We are running out of them, and that makes me really sad. But I am happy. It's Friday.
Amen. Also joined by a lifetime Longhorn and lifetime Austinite. He's so much of a man, they had to take one of his balls away to keep it fair for the rest of us. He knows where your IT guy's IT guy went to college. He is Kevin Dunn. KD, what's going on?
Thank God it is Friday. And I kind of think about what Rod said. And we've got two games left, and we got Super Bowl, and we're going to have spring stuff to talk about for sure. But I'm just, I don't know. When you're running out of time, you think about it a little bit more. You know, you appreciate it a little bit more. And I definitely do and will this weekend.
No doubt about that. I will be here as well. I am BK Brad Kellner. Together, we are the Triple Option with RBKD. Rocking and rolling until 7 o'clock here on the Horn. We appreciate y'all spending some or all of your Friday afternoon with us. And a very happy Friday to each and every one of you out there. A beautiful Friday here in the greatest city in the world. Austin, Texas, USA, America. All right, gentlemen. Steve Sarkisian's introductory press conference was last Tuesday. And it only took 10 days for half the fan base to want to fire him. At least, that's what we thought for a while. Late last night, Matt Zenitz of Al.com, who covers Alabama football over there, tweeted out, quote, sources, Alabama analyst Mike Stoops is expected to be hired by Steve Sarkisian at Texas. Sounds like he'll be linebacker's coach. Spent the last 2 years at Bama after seven seasons as the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma. And KD, that sent a shockwave through Longhorn Nation. Texas fans were pissed when they saw that initial report last night.
Laying down and my phone went off. Paul Wadlington, Scipio Tex, said, emergency podcast tomorrow. I'm like, what? What are you talking about, man? I got a dying cat here. I'm barely getting sleep. Like, no. And then he told me what it was, and I said, what time? Longhorn Nation is fired up for a lot of reasons, and a lot of it has to do with Mike Stoops, and some of it may be the MAGA hat, whatever. I don't think that we should get to that level. My level is he hadn't been a good coordinator since the early to mid 2000s or defensive coach, and he was behind, constantly behind. When he went to a three down look, it looked behind. And also, we know that he'd be moved up to the box. We saw it, that this guy can be combustible on the sideline. Now, can that work for a linebacker coach? And does Mike Stoops, as I talked about with Kevin Sumlin, is he a hobo now? Like, we like to go so far in one direction? No, the guy knows some football. Nick Saban brought him in for a reason to have some eyes. But I just was really expecting more. And my sense is, Rod, that there was enough blowback and that this was almost like a test run, that there was no way this was going to happen, because obviously it wasn't a done deal, it wasn't signed, but Texas Nation went off. You can say that's a good thing or a bad thing that they have that type of power.
Yeah, the tail wagging the dog, right?
That's, yes.
If in fact they were actually down the road on this thing, and we don't know. We don't know if it was a report they got wrong, or they jumped the gun, or if it actually was something substantive. We have no idea. Our friends at the Football Brainiacs, who are the ones who broke the Kwiatkowski story, they tweeted out, interesting turn of events this morning regarding the Hook'em linebacker coaching hire. Some sourcing on what may have happened. It does sound like the original reporting was accurate, but things changed is what they're reporting. And there's something in me that wants to jump out on that grassy knoll and believe, yeah, KD, that this actually was farther down the line. Remember, there was a random report earlier this year. Mm-hmm. that Mike Stoops was actually one of the candidates for the defensive coordinator hired.
Yes.
And we all was like, oh, fake news. There's no way. Somebody's trolling us. There's no way that's a reality. All right? There's no way that's a real thing. And here you get the news that, oh, yeah, he's actually going to be a linebackers coach. And then that turns out to be either fake news or they decided to renege on that deal. And now there are whispers and reports out there through the grapevine that, oh, he's just going to come here and be an analyst. And if that is the case, if he indeed does come back here to be an analyst, that'll lead me to believe that all those other reports were true.
Yeah.
And that the tail did wag the dog, and cyberbullying, although wrong, that it actually did the right thing here and ended up keeping Sark from making a mistake, which was hiring Mike Stoops. So I don't know exactly what's true. We'll see. I think if Mike Stoops ends up here as an analyst, then I'm going to end up believing, because I'm a conspiracy theory nut and I like to jump out on that grassy knoll. I'm going to go ahead and believe that, yes, he was indeed the linebacker hire, and Longhorn fans lost their damn mind and went so crazy on Twitter, and that was the first real baptism, if you will, for Steve Sarkisian into what it's like to be the head coach here at Texas. Every move you make, sir, every move you make will be highly criticized and will be highly debated. That's just the reality of it. And it's crazy to think that the fans had that kind of influence on social media, but it wouldn't be the first time we've seen social media have that kind of influence, whether it be negative or positive.
No, and BK, all the reports we've seen, have they missed out on guys, or did guys not come here that probably were candidates like Barry Odom? Yes, but all the guys that are here, there were reports that they were there. I was talking to someone last night who's connected to big money donors, who was talking to them, and this one linebacker coach, I don't know about DC, this was real.
Yeah, it sounds like it was. And man, just the firestorm on social media last night was bizarre. Whew. I mean, people criticizing the hire and criticizing Steve Sarkisian for even considering hiring Stoops in here. There were Texas fans praying to the heavens that the report wasn't true. I mean, it was like a bomb had been dropped in Austin last night, and everyone was just scrambling for answers. But it was Brian Davis of the Austin American Statesman who I think eased all of the concerns and all of the tensions around this fan base. He tweeted out at 8:08 this morning, "Texas coach Steve Sarkisian tells me the Horns are not hiring Mike Stoops. He does have someone else in mind for linebackers coach. He hopes to finalize later today," end quote. So false alarm. Apparently, it's all good here. But, Rod, I think you're dead on, man. I mean, the power of social media, you know, Charlie Strong called it the downfall of society. Sometimes social media can be used for good. Sometimes it can be used for evil. You know, when this happened last night and into the morning, I thought about Art Briles. Now, I don't mean to compare Mike Stoops to Art Briles, but I don't know if y'all remember this. Well, after the Baylor situation happened and Art Briles lost his job in Waco, a Canadian football team tried to hire Art Briles as their head coach. I think maybe it was just an offensive coordinator job. I think June Jones
was
the head coach, and they tried to hire Art Briles to be their OC, and the public backlash was just insane, and rightfully so. I supported it, but just insane to the point where a couple of days later, June Jones had to say, no, we're actually not going to hire Art Briles. Sorry about that. We're not doing it anymore. So when this happened, very different situations, but like that's what I thought about, Rod. It's like we have seen this happen before in coaching circles, and yeah, I do believe that Sark was willing to bring in and ready to bring in Mike Stoops as his linebacker coach, and then he saw the reaction from this fan base and said, you know what, I don't want to jump into hot water just yet,
right?
I'm going to wait for things to go wrong in the fall. Hopefully they don't, but I'm going to like let the results decide whether or not I make it here. I'm not going to let a coaching staff, a position coaching hire, be something that leads to my downfall from day one.
I agree. It's not worth it, right? It just even if you realize the fans are being, which they are, fanatics, and are being unreasonable, it's not worth already, you know, decreasing your popularity, if you were, and already losing some part of your base before you even play a game. That's not what you want to do as a head coach. So I do think it was further down the line. And we know, like I said, if he comes as an analyst, Mike Stoops ends up here as an analyst of some kind, we know he just likes Mike Stoops. And you know what? We shouldn't judge him on liking Mike Stoops. I think the judgment was, because Longhorn fans are smart football fans. Yes, they may be unreasonable about some stuff, but they are smart football fans. They know ball. All right, Longhorn football fans, they know ball. And as KD mentioned, they know that Mike Stoops is, the game has passed him by. Right, and that he is an explosive, volatile element on the coaching staff. There are reports, even at Oklahoma, that he and some of the players in the locker room weren't getting along, that they were butting heads, that he kind of had lost his ability to be able to relate to the players in the locker room. That's why he went to the coaching car wash for Nick Saban. So for Longhorn fans, listen, Jay Boulware, nobody was complaining about Jay Boulware coming over from Oklahoma. And when they were trying to sign Dennis Simmons, the wide receivers coach, Longhorn fans were like, oh, yeah, let's do that. Let's do it. Nobody's complaining about signing.
Right.
It's not an OU deal.
It's a Mike Stoops
deal.
It's not a
Stoops deal with the last name. It's a Mike Stoops deal because people don't like Mike Stoops as a defensive mind in terms of it and being able to relate to football. Now, you can make the argument, well, he's coaching linebackers. He's not going to be a coordinator, and he wasn't going to, you know, be an assistant head coach or anything. He wasn't going to have a tremendous amount of power, but Longhorn fans, still, they didn't want to hear that. That was a weak argument for Longhorn fans. They figure with the pool of talent to choose from, you're the University of Texas, you're throwing money around, you're flexing right now, and that's your flex,
right,
the linebacker? I'd rather you go hire the DC at Westlake to be the linebacker coach then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm worried about the Westlake defense, but I'd love Tony Salazar there. There's no question about it. So, yeah, I mean, the whole thing is, you know, I mean, they could, if we heard Mike or Bob Stoops was coming in as an analyst to look at the program, I mean, I would vet him as a trader as much as Eric Swalwell is probably vetting interns right now. A little political joke for y'all there.
Nice.
But, I didn't get it, but I laughed.
I didn't think you
figured
would.
I figured it was probably funny.
I'm playing for Rod in that age group. I would still like those eyes. This is a Mike Stoops deal, and not even with the strippers and the other stories we heard back in the 2000s and the fact that he hates Texas. It's none of that stuff. And, I mean, hell, the strippers thing may work with this coaching staff.
I was going to say.
So let's get real
about that.
That's
the reason we're not bringing in Mike Stoops, that we might have some other changes we have to make.
Simpatico. But the combustible part and really the football theory part, everything I talk about, I've used him as an example, saying that the defensive coordinator I wanted, 3 down, 4 down, it's a 2-4-5. You need to have an overall theory and understanding of football, and it needs to be able to move and be fluid. And Mike Stoops didn't prove that. He ran Tampa 2, and we heard about they'll stop. Bucky and Aaron would have Bobby Jack Wright on in the early 2000s, and he'd say, we'd stop practice if we're an inch off. Well, you're running one damn thing, and it's working in 2000, and you did a really good job with it. But the Mike Stoops that we know right now, it just wouldn't be a good hire. And the bigger picture for me, guys, and is you don't want to let, and Rod's talking about it, you know, that the tail's wagging the dog. Well, we see it on both sides on Twitter, in terms of both sides that are nuts on one side or the other, super left or super right, and they can kind of be the vocal majority, and you don't want to let them run stuff, right? And Sark's got to be careful with that. Bigger picture. Smaller picture, I agree, there's no reason, and it would be a bad hire. BK, am I reading into this too much?
No, I mean, that's a fair statement to make, right? Not just related to Texas football, but also related to life in general. I mean, sometimes it's dangerous to have social media dictate your life's decisions. I think more often than not, it's probably dangerous to have social media dictate your life's decisions. But as Rod said, I mean, you don't want to tick off half your fan base before you even really start on the job.
Yeah,
so,
I get that.
Yeah, they're putting a feeler out there, which I don't know if that was the intention for Steve Sarkisian, right? I don't know if he talked to this Alabama reporter and said, hey, can you tweet this out and let's see how everyone reacts to, so I can decide if I should actually bring this guy in or if I shouldn't bring this guy in. I don't know if that's how it went down or if someone told Sark after that tweet happened that, yo, will you check Twitter right now? Like, will you check your phone right now? Like, see what's going on with all this reaction? So, Yeah, I mean, that's just something you don't want to mess with if you're Sark. I mean, Rod, we've talked about it. He's done everything right to this point, it feels like, right? I mean, he won the introductory press conference. He's had Zoom Q&As with former players, with the parents of current players, with Texas exes, with big money donors. I mean, he's pulling all the right strings. He met with the High School Coaches Association. It feels like he's pushed every correct button at this point. And then it almost felt like he was about to throw it all away by bringing in just one guy that Longhorn fans hate. Like, all of that work he's done over the last 10 days, which has been phenomenal, he was going to throw it all away. It's as simple as that if he was going to bring in Mike Stoops.
Yeah, I mean, he's earned a lot of, you know, good street cred with the fan base, and you're right, he's checking all the boxes, and with all these Zoom calls that he's been doing, but taking the time to try to cultivate those authentic relationships, something that Tom Herman didn't do, and he wants to start with a good foundation. And I don't know if all the goodwill he's created would have been thrown away, but you're right, BK, there is a substantial amount of the fan base that would have been so ticked off by the move. They would have started looking for more negative things.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right? They would have started looking for more things to criticize him about. And then all this positive momentum you've created that also has a reverberating effect on recruiting and on all of these different things that will help the program, you know, slowly it starts to dissipate. Because if some of the fan base are like, ah, I'm turned off, man, just go beat Oklahoma. Until then, shut the hell up. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Which is kind of how Rod B. kind of started out the campaign, right? And so you lose some of that positivity and that enthusiasm and that optimism with a move like that. And the whole point of it is, listen, the truth is he probably would have been a decent linebackers coach. I don't doubt that. It's a linebackers coach. He knows enough ball to be able to teach linebackers and learn the system. But I think the whole point is, could you have found somebody just as good or better to coach linebackers?
Yes.
Who doesn't have all of that baggage in Longhorn fans' opinion? And yes, the answer is yes. Of course you can.
Yeah.
You got the country to choose from. You can go anywhere in the country and go find the linebackers. It's a linebackers coach. So all you got to do is go. You basically have to, maybe the blue blood linebacker coaches, maybe they want to stay at their locations because they're being paid big money. But basically, you have 100 and something other schools to go choose linebacker coaches from. And if you can't find one better than Mike Stoops, then you the wrong guy for the job. So yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, and Texas fans, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I did one and done that everything adds up, BK, and it's cumulative, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden it's like it turns into the spring. It's like, well, the basketball team sucked, the football team sucked. It just adds up. What's added up with Texas fans and football, and we're coming off, we're a Dennis Rodman double rebound. We're coming off some bad experiences. And we're on first
that kind of rebound.
We're on first dates, and we are reading into stuff way too much with a comment.
We got trust issues.
We got trust issues. Hey, we've been played.
We got trust issues.
He told me he was going to stay the night.
Yeah, man.
Looking at you, BK.
I am so glad. Yeah, I've done that a time or 2,000.
I'm guilty as well.
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad this didn't go down, guys, for a number of reasons. But also, I think I could have lost my job with some of the takes I would have had today if Mike Stoops was hired as the linebacker coach.
Well, I
want
to hear him. Let's act like he was.
Look,
no,
I wasn't
like
going to say I love the hire. I wasn't going to say I really like the hire, but I was going to try to justify it and say, all right, this might not be the worst hire ever made in the history of Texas football.
That's a fair statement, too.
Right? I mean, look, the last time we saw Mike Stoops as a defensive coordinator was a disaster. We actually saw his last game firsthand. It was against Texas in 2018, that 48-45 Dicker the Kicker game-winning field goal game.
You remember the preview show that year when I said, at what point will Mike Stoops be fired? Like, we all laughed. We all knew.
Yeah.
It was a date heading into that.
He was in hot water. He was on thin ice. He was on thin ice in hot water going into that game. I mean, it was a disaster. It was a matter of when, not a matter of if he was going to lose his job. But, man, I mean, his resume isn't terrible. And I always say this, not always, but I often say, like, anytime you can bring in a former head coach at your level of football to coach positions, I feel like that's worth taking a shot.
Usually it is.
And look, I know what Mike Stoops did, his heyday as the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma was 20 years ago, right? He was a part of that national championship winning staff in 2000. He took over when Bob Stoops took over in 99, but he was the defensive coordinator at Kansas State before that. So he's got a lot of experience, multiple stints in this conference. I don't know, he was a head coach for 8 years, guys. And you could say, oh, it didn't work out. He got fired from Arizona. Well, he lasted longer than the two coaches before him and the four coaches after him. mean, that's not the easiest place to win. He was there for 8 years, which I'm not saying the tenure was a success, but, like, he did okay there. And then the first couple of years he got back to Oklahoma, their defense was fine. Was it great? No. I mean, they were still an offensive-led team, but, like, their defense was solid the first couple of years that Stoops was back. And the big thing that was going to give me a little bit of hope, once again, I'm not saying I was going to like the hire or love the hire or anything like that, but it's the coaching car wash thing, guys. We've seen the Saban reclamation projects work really, really well, and I was willing to give this thing a chance. I don't think a lot of Longhorn fans were, and I get the logic, and once again, I want him to go hire somebody else, but I would have come on here today if Mike Stoops had taken the job and tried to calm everybody down just a little bit, because this guy has a decent enough resume to be a position coach here at Texas.
So the way we get so, Rod, we get so polarized with takes now, and we do it with everything. So I probably would have been thrown into BK's camp there had he been hired, because I would have told Texas fans today is not the end of the world. I don't like the hire. I don't like the Joseph hire. I'm questioning Coleman. But overall, it would not have been the end of the world considering he was just coaching linebackers, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I said, so I agree.
Yeah, and 9 of the 10 assistant coaching staff hires have been officially made by Steve Sarkisian. So still waiting on the linebacker one, but we've got the official tweets from the University of Texas, and we've got the statement released from the university as well. No other surprises. Still waiting on that 10th and final assistant coach for UT. And one of the descriptions was pretty hilarious to me. Tory Becton, who has been brought in as what we thought was the strength and conditioning coach at Texas. I think they had him marked down as like the director of player performance. I never heard that before, but I guess we got to change the verbiage with these coaches.
That's the
now.
Same thing.
Make it sound a little bit cooler, you know?
Yeah.
No one likes strength and conditioning anymore. It's player performance.
That's a meathead with a goatee who's angry.
Yeah. So there you go. 9 of the 10 staff members hired. Mike Stoops is not coming in. According to multiple reports at this point. We'll take your thoughts. 337-3776 is the Specs text line. Let's continue the Longhorn football conversation. We've got some transfer portal news to get to, some roster news to discuss. One player entering the transfer portal, another player who is in the transfer portal, potentially taking a visit here in Austin, and Texas loses a wide receiver. That's next.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It is a Country Music Friday right here on the Triple Option with RBKD. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. BK is at Brad Keldner in the Twitterverse. My man Kevin Dunn is at Kevin Dunn 01 in the Twitterverse. All right, gentlemen, that's some Longhorn news to get to. And one of these stories broke yesterday, and another one of them I saw just earlier today, and maybe it did break late yesterday, but there have been two Longhorns who have decided they're moving on from the 40 acres for different reasons. Tariq Black, who transferred from Michigan, is deciding to forego the rest of his eligibility on the 40 acres, and he is going to enter the NFL draft. I saw it via a video from Elite Athlete Management with a video showing that, he's ready to go to the NFL draft. Katie, I'll start with you. Because you were talking about Tariq Black even before he got to the 40 acres. You thought he was a guy that could make contributions here, and I think we all did, especially once the news dropped. Do you think he has a shot, a legitimate shot in the NFL to get either drafted or to make a roster?
Not to get drafted, because as we've talked about, there are so many receivers, and Tariq Black played 6 games his first 2 years at Michigan with Donovan Peoples-Jones, who actually showed a little bit in the league this year.
Yeah.
And Peoples-Jones was the number one receiver by most accounts, and Tariq Black was a top 10 receiver, and that was going to be the new Michigan offense. This is before they'd actually brought a spread passing game up there. And Black looked good in those 6 games. The problem was he was injured. So you got to take your W's and your losses. And I didn't sell you guys a bill of goods, but I really thought that he could be an impact player, BK, and he wasn't. And I don't think it was so much because of injury. Now, he may come and tell me, and Rod knows this better than we do, that if you're a player, it's like, hey, man, like Cade Klubnik and Quinn Ewers. I played, but there was other stuff going on. Right. He wasn't the type of guy that he had been his freshman and sophomore year.
Yeah, he just didn't make that much of an impact this year for Texas. 10 catches, 240 yards on the season, had one touchdown that came against UTEP way back in week one. The production wasn't quite there, and I remember his first ever collegiate game for Michigan was against Florida, one of those neutral site, kickoff weekend, season-opening non-conference games, and he had like an 80-yard touchdown on the first play of the game. Like, he balled out, and I'm like, okay, this guy's going to be really, really good, and he was a high four-star recruit, so when he came to Texas last summer, I'm thinking, all right, yeah, he's battled injuries, but if he stays healthy, then maybe he could give Texas a little something, and, well, I guess I was right. He gave Texas a little of something.
Yeah.
A very little of something. So, Rod, I mean, to answer your question, he's 6'3", 217. Like, he's got ideal size to be a receiver at the next level. I think there's some speed there. We didn't see a ton of it on full display this past season, but I don't think he's going to be drafted. Like, I think he's got a shot to make an NFL roster and get some calls after the draft day is over. But unless he blows everyone away at his pro day, assuming he's a part of this thing in a few weeks, then I would guess it's going to be an uphill battle for Tariq Black to make it to the NFL.
Yeah, I can't believe he's 6'3". Is he really 6'3"? He doesn't look like he's 6'3".
That's what he's listed at.
He's listed at that.
Pulled out the tape measure, just stacked a bunch of rulers on top of each other, so I don't know.
He must have short limbs, because maybe he is 6'3", but he doesn't look long. He doesn't look rangy. He doesn't look like he's 6'3". Because, wait, what is Brandon Eagle, 6'4"?
Yes, 6'4", 6'5".
6'5", yeah.
Brandon Eagles looks, and then how tall is Malcolm Epps? I thought Malcolm Epps was like 6'6". You get what I'm saying? Like the scale isn't lining up. If Malcolm Epps is 6'6", and somebody's like, oh no, he's 6'5". Well, if he's 6'5", then Brandon Eagles is 6'4". It doesn't look like to me Tariq Black is 6'3", but I could be wrong. I could be off. I'm just judging on the eye test. Huh. My point is this that I want to get to, that not having the combine is hurting a lot of people, and I don't know if he would have been even invited to the combine, truth be told. He's got to, like you said, BK, he's got to run a hell of a 40. He's got to have a freakish performance, and a lot of scouts who don't trust the word of mouth or like these virtual workouts, virtual pro days they're having. Scouts want to be there in person to see an athlete work out, to see how an athlete, how he gets out of his cuts, how he moves, how his body performs in different drills. They want to be able to look at, does he have a high booty? Oh, I want to see that. They like high booties. That's a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
With scouts. Means you're athletic. Trust me, ask Bucky about the high booty.
Big track
they want to be able to see. Yeah, they want to be able to say, Coach, he's got a really high butt. Does he really? Ooh, mm-hmm. That's my thing. So whatever it is, right?
Flo-Jo. Hey, Rod, Flo-Jo had a high ass.
Oh, it was so high. That thing was near his shoulder. It was crazy. But yeah, you're right. But that's, you know, coaches, those coaches are like, they want to see, oh, Coach, you should have seen his thighs. You know, so I know it sounds crazy and archaic and antiquated, but the truth is that's how scouts are old school. So it's going to hurt him that scouts aren't there to see him in person. Maybe somebody does like the way he runs routes or the way, the way he runs or period or the way he gets out of his breaks, whatever it may be. You won't really be able to see that up close and personal. So I think it's going to hurt Tariq Black, man, no doubt. Hmm. Yeah, but the XFL, though, XFL. Mm-hmm. The sooner The Rock gets that off the ground, gentlemen, he can play in the XFL all day, every day, and twice on Sunday. Well, whenever they play, twice on Saturday, whenever they play.
Yeah, no, I think those other leagues could help. I mean, maybe an opportunity to play in Canada if things don't work out at the NFL level for Tariq Black. Yep. But, yeah, hopefully he could turn some heads at his pro day. I'm rooting for him for sure. But, yeah, I think it's going to be an uphill battle for him to find his way on an NFL roster, gentlemen. And, you know, I don't think it's too big of a loss for Texas either. I hope it doesn't sound like I'm piling on the kid, but he didn't contribute too much last year.
No, best of luck.
Do have some talented receivers coming back. Plus, Troy O'Meara, who missed all of last season, by all accounts, I think we remember, he was highly praised in fall camp before last season started, before he tore his ACL. He should be good to go next season. So you got him and Whittington and Jake Smith and a few other cats. Texas, I think, is going to be okay on the outside.
I think they're going to be okay, but I will say this. This is one of the cool things about the optimism that you have with Sark right now and the type of mind and scheme he's bringing in is that any of these guys I'm giving more than a second chance and an open eye and an open mind that, hey, well Tariq Black, maybe like a lot of the guys, had problems getting off press coverage. Well, Sark's going to scheme them open. And that's kind of what I'm expecting with a lot of these guys to look a lot better because of the position they're put in. So I was, you know, Rod, I want as many of those guys as possible. So, Tariq Black, if you wanted to come back, that's great. We appreciate the year. Best of luck, man.
Yeah, no, I'm with you because, you know, they can contribute on special teams. I mean, yeah. We just need as many good high-level athletes, experienced high-level athletes as possible. I agree. I mean, it'd be great, especially to have that guy just because you know his experience there. And, yeah, I'm with you, man. The clean slate, you never know how a guy's going to look in a new offense with a fresh set of eyes on him and a clean slate. So I agree with that. Another guy who decided – anybody else got something on?
No, I'm good, man.
Yeah, that's good.
You doing that? All right. Another guy who decided to move on from the 40 Acres, gentlemen, and this news dropped yesterday. Texas offensive lineman Reese Moore has decided to enter the transfer portal. He's entered transfer portal 247 Sports. I'll give them credit. Horns 247 had the story. Moore, a redshirt sophomore and a member of the 2018 recruiting class, the second offensive lineman and the second member of the that Tom Herman's first full recruiting class to hit the portal in recent days. Offensive lineman also Willie Tyler, a 2019 junior college signee, opted out of the 2020 season amid the COVID-19 pandemic after redshirting in his first season with the Longhorns. And, of course, we know Jalen Green recently hit the transfer portal too. BK, I'll throw it your way on the offensive line. Reese Moore, one of those guys that Texas have been cultivating, decides to hit the transfer portal. What are your thoughts? Good, bad news? Does it something that's kind of a natural, organic thing when you have a new regime coming in?
Yeah, I think it's a natural, organic thing with the new regime coming in and also with the NCAA eligibility waiver that we had this past season to where Texas is going to have probably four starting offensive linemen back next season. We haven't heard anything official from Derek Kerstetter, but a lot of folks behind the scenes do believe that he's going to be back here. So that means all four of your starting offensive linemen besides Sam Cosmi will be back. And then you saw Jake Majors and you saw Andre Carrick. Those guys were getting starts late in the season over a guy like Reese Moore. So there was just no direct path to playing time for Reese Moore. So, you know, some guys want to stay and wait it out, but I understand. I mean, he's been with this program for a few years now, and he wants to go play somewhere else. So best of luck to him.
Yeah, I mean, best of luck to all these guys. And it's been such a... It's been an S show. I mean, we've talked about how many offensive line coaches, how many offensive coordinators, how many defensive coordinators. Some of these guys have had multiple head coaches. You've had different ADs. You've had different presidents. I mean, not that that necessarily affects them.
Biden
but,
did just take over 2 days ago.
No, Hartzell, and I'm talking about school presidents.
Bad. I was going to say, I think we've all had different presidents.
Even throw that in there.
There's
been a lot of stuff going on with these guys, and the fact that they stuck with it. At some point, and hopefully it was pretty early on, but definitely in my 20s where I realized, hey, this is my school. I'm proud of these guys, and I can separate effort from maybe if these guys should have been recruited here to how they're put in a scheme. But if they come here and put the effort out there, man, I'm always going to root for them. So good luck to them. I'm hoping that the transition, Rod, that we're seeing with guys coming in and guys coming out, part of that can be sometimes you come in and say, hey, you know what? You're just not the right fit for me. I have no idea if that's the case with Reese Moore. I'm just talking as an overview here that maybe we're kind of upgrading, at least upgrading for what Sark's looking for.
Yeah, no, I mean, these players, they know ball, and they know the situation better than anybody. And like BK says, if there is a chance for them to play and they have a chance to compete for a starting spot or compete for starting time, you know, usually guys, you know, they'll stay. And we also know guys can go into the transfer portal and they can come back.
Very true.
It has happened here at Texas a lot. It happened with Casey Thompson. Happened with Anthony Cook. Juwan Mitchell, I think, is one of those guys. Denzel Okafor, I believe, is also one of those guys.
Yep, he was.
Happens a lot. That can happen too. But I you know, these guys, they have been around, and you brought up the turnover here on the 40 acres as well. That's always a incentive almost for guys to decide to at least to reexamine their situation. And I think he decided that Texas on the offensive line, they got a lot of guys coming back, as BK mentioned, and there are a lot of young guys who are already ahead of him, and he's got to beat them out to try to get a chance to play. It's going to be tough. Even with a new slate, he probably deems it's going to be tough for him. That's why I was shocked. Jalen Green is probably the most surprising of all the transfers to me, because at corner there is, I mean, there's a chance to play.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not like the corners ahead of him were all Big 12 defenders or anything. I mean, they were okay. They were good, but man, I would think with a off season of hard work and a new staff with a new scheme, yeah, they may think this guy's going to start, but if I'm 1 degree of separation from the starting spot, oh man, I can take that spot, especially from a guy who's not stellar, who's not all world. So that's the one that's kind of surprising to me. And, yeah, maybe he looked at the coaching staff in a new scheme and decided he didn't have a place there. But everybody's got their own reasons for transferring.
I think I know why Jalen Green put his name in the portal, guys.
Why?
He saw that his new position coach had two first names, and he's like, dude, I don't trust that guy.
Oh, Terry Joseph.
He did not want to be a part of Terry Joseph.
You don't like that.
So he's
Terry
like, you know
Joseph.
What? I'm not going to rely on this guy to develop me into an NFL player. I can't even trust him at all, so I'm out.
Another great thing about Dwayne Aquino, who Rod brags about a lot. Yeah. Dwayne Aquino, I mean, that's a name right there.
I don't know any Aquinas out there.
I don't know any Aquinas either.
No.
I don't know any Aikens.
No, not at all.
To be fair, the other choice that I would have wanted other than Coach Aquino was Corey Raymond, the DB coach from LSU.
Whoa,
and those are two first names,
good
too.
Point.
So
good point.
Just throwing it out there, guys.
Wow.
I know.
That one wouldn't have worked either.
Unfortunate.
Green would have transferred with him, too. I do want to mention this, guys. Eric Gray is visiting Austin today. I'm a poet, and I didn't even realize it. Eric Gray was the leading rusher for Tennessee last season. We talked about it earlier this week that Tennessee is having a mass exodus right now because Jeremy Pruitt was fired earlier this week. So a bunch of talented players, not just like depth players, like talented players for Tennessee have been entering the transfer portal. Eric Gray, more than 700 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns last year for Tennessee. Steve Sarkisian talked about in the Zoom Q&A that I was on yesterday with the Texas X's. He said he wants to address the running back position in the transfer portal. Now, he says, I know there's talent there, so don't take that as, oh, my God, he's not going to play Bijan. No, he's going to play Bijan. He knows Bijan's a stud, but there's not a lot of depth. You got Bijan, you got Rojo, and you got, what, Jonathan Brooks?
Yeah, Keontae is in the transfer portal.
Because Keontae's in the portal, too. So, Eric Gray visiting Austin, that'd be a big-time pickup, KD, for UT if they were able to get him from the other UT.
Yeah, Tennessee, don't be fooled by their record. Well, actually, you can be fooled a little bit because they've got good individual talent. They actually have a lot more talent than you would think, and it's just that thing wouldn't put together well. So they've got a couple of linebackers. I think they have 4 linebackers in the portal. They've got different guys, and OU already got a 5-star offensive lineman. I would definitely take a serious look at this thing, and I do know the McDonald's on campus when I was there was stellar, BK. Did that keep up for you?
Come on, man. There's no need for that. There's no need for that. We're trying to avoid the McDonald's bag payments, right? That's the other UT state. We don't want to mess with that.
I know. And these poor kids are going to get dragged through that whether they took or not.
If Eric Gray comes here or anyone from Tennessee comes here, even me as a Texas fan, I'm going to bring up a poster board with the McDonald's logo on it next year.
Did you guys see the Florida-Tennessee basketball game?
No, are they doing that?
No.
Yeah, Florida fans, the few ones
they brought
there.
McDonald's bags?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, sir.
Full of stuff, and during timeouts, they're holding it up and shaking them.
That is great. That's what college sports is
exactly.
All about.
Exactly.
I love it. That's genius.
I missed that.
Oh, man. So there you go. Some roster news notes and nuggets for Texas Longhorn football. Tariq Black going pro, Reese Moore going to the portal, and Eric Gray apparently taking a visit here to Austin. We'll obviously let you know if any news breaks with him. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. Specs text line 337-3776. Let's talk some Cowboys. We're talking about coaching staff changes with UT. Well, the Cowboys continue to make some coaching staff moves as well. And some good news if you're a Cowboys fan. We'll give it to you next.
Welcome back, Triple Option with RBKD. Beautiful Friday here in Austin. Get outside, enjoy it. You can enjoy the weather and being outside and also enjoy us, too. Just get the Horn app. We're live, we're local, we are digital, and hornfm.com is a great place to go. Lots of people will go there, to check out the podcast, but we've got stuff to give away as well, including a $100 gift card to the Cowboys gift shop. That's courtesy of Miller Lite. Speaking of those Cowboys. Cowboys making some hires. Good to see this. So they actually made three official hires here or announced them. And you got Joe Witt Jr., who's a new secondary coach and passing game coordinator. And you've got Harold Nash, who's strength and conditioning coordinator. BK, they didn't give him a different title. They're just going S&C there.
That sucks.
I know.
He must not be as good as the guy Texas got then.
And then here's the third guy. I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to kind of have fun with your pronunciations. Is it Aiden? That's Dird, right?
It's not Dird.
Dirty? Is it Dirt A? Is it Dirty?
No.
Is it Dirty?
It's not Dirty.
It's Dirty.
Man, he just took the job. You're already calling him Dirty? What
no,
is this?
No, I think it'd be kind of cool. Dirty. He's a defensive line coach. You got to be a little dirty.
Yeah, he's not at Alabama, okay? He's with the Dallas Cowboys.
You got to bite kneecaps.
Oh, man. We might have to play that again. That
yeah,
Dan
that was
Campbell
great.
Introductory press conference bit that went viral yesterday. Aiden Durod.
Durod.
He was the guy we talked about earlier. Do y'all remember the former London football player who had coached for the Scottish Claymores?
Oh, you mentioned that, didn't you?
And also the Hamburg Sea Lions.
Yeah.
Yeah, earlier this week there were just reports that Durod was coming in, but they made the hire official today. I think we knew about Joe Witt Jr. as well, but that hire's become official too. And we saw earlier, Rod, that the Cowboys' now former cornerback coach took the same job at Michigan. I think we kind of expected that after the Joe Witt Jr. rumors started to circulate. So three new hires. But, Rod, I think the biggest story for the Dallas Cowboys is something that happened with the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday, the fact that they did not hire Kellen Moore to be their head football coach.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking about that, right? Kellen Moore interviewed with Philly earlier this week. The Cowboys fans, like myself, I think the majority of that fan base wanted him to stay in Dallas because he's done pretty good things with the offense the last couple of years, and the Eagles decided to go a different route. So that's probably the best news, I think, coaching staff-wise, if you're a Cowboys fan right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. And they interviewed, John Fossil as well, right? The Eagles did?
Yes.
I believe. Yeah, that was very...
They interviewed everyone, man.
They interviewed Fossil?
I wonder if they're interviewing just to try to figure out some of the Cowboys' secrets because they're a division opponent. Like, let's just pick the brain of these coordinators and find out how much we can gain from just the interview process alone. And I'm not saying that happens, but I would do it if I was an owner of a team. I'd bring in all my divisional opponents' coordinators and I'd interview them all. Like, and then I'd just see what I can gain from it. Why not? Something tells me that may be some of it, and maybe it's not. Maybe I'm just being crazy. But it's just weird they would interview John Fossil too.
Yeah. No, I actually
nobody wants to interview John Fossil.
I checked my phone a couple of days ago and I had a missed call from a Philadelphia area code, guys. I wonder if they were interested in interviewing me too.
Why not?
I mean, they interviewed two dozen people.
Do you know
like.
Sean McVay?
That's crazy.
No, but I've watched him on TV.
Well, that counts.
So does that count?
That counts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe you're onto something there, Rod B. I mean, look, Kellen Moore only interviewed with Philly and Philly interviewed everybody. And look, it felt like a little bit of a quick rise for Kellen Moore, who already has been a fast riser, so maybe wouldn't have been the biggest surprise if he got a head coaching job. Hell, Boise State wanted him to be their head coach this offseason, too. But, maybe you're onto something with that's why the Eagles really interviewed him, and I don't know how serious they ever were about making him their actual head coach.
Yeah, it's just, it to me, I don't know how revealing candidates are in those interviews. I mean, I don't even know what kind of questions they ask, how deep they get into X's and O's, right? Do they dig into football theory? Because I would dig into football theory. I really want to know, because we know Sean McVay was impressed by Brandon Staley's football theory, right, that he wanted to devote, be two-on-one in the pass game and create matchups of one-on-one in the running game. And McVay said, that's my philosophy. That's my football theory. We align. Let's do it. And I do wonder how deep into the X's and O's they go, because if they do, man, why not interview everybody? I'd interview everybody, and I'd get them to start revealing their X's and O's and what their actual football theory is, and then I just keep a notebook of stuff. I would do it for all of my candidate hires if I was just a GM or I was a head coach. I would just interview 30, 40 people every time and just start amassing a Rolodex of information. Not just contacts are great too, but I'm talking about I want just a mass pile of information about specific candidates and about those teams and how they go about their business.
Yeah, that goes for a lot of industries too. So if you own a restaurant, I talk to a lot of chefs. You may get some ideas even if you don't hire them. If you're hiring salespeople, talk to a lot of people. If there's some ingenuity that goes into that sales job, and you may actually get something with that. I mean, it's not totally ethical, but I'm just giving the kids advice. So.
That's good. That's great advice right there for the kids. Yeah, you know, the Cowboys won't have to go up against Kellen Moore twice a year, but they will have to go up against Nick Sriracha. I think that's his name, the guy.
It's not Sriracha.
That's not who it is.
Sirianni? Is it Sirianni?
Sirianni.
Sirianni.
He's not that hot.
He's an Italian mobster. Sirianni. You know, I thought this was hilarious, guys, because...
Hey, Rod. The Philly balls.
It's awesome. That's hilarious because Philly got that guy with name. I mean, that's funny enough in itself, but... So many Eagles fans have been desperate since Frank Reich left Philadelphia to become the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, right? I mean, so many people who thought Doug Peterson was the reason the Eagles won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, they're like, ah, Peterson sucks. It was Reich the entire time. It's all Reich. That's the only reason we won. He's the guy. And so what do the Eagles do? They hire Reich's offensive coordinator. Like, I think that's the organization kind of admitting that, oh, maybe we chose the wrong guy here.
Yeah, it is. Well, we got Tom Herman and at the end wanted Urban Meyer. So sometimes, you know, it turns out that way. But I don't know if they've seen right with his game management. I like Frank, and I like him as an offensive mind, and I thought that was a good hire by Indianapolis. But I had some questions about – I think he's still growing into that job as a head coach.
I think he is too, but, man, he – I think he's had some, I guess bad luck is not really the way to put it, but he's just had so much instability at quarterback. He's been there, what, 4 years when he's had three different quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean,
he's had Jacoby Brissett, Phillip Rivers, Andrew Luck when he got there.
Exactly.
And now he's going to be looking for a fourth quarterback because Phillip Rivers is retiring. So I think in considering the quarterbacks and how much turnover they've had there, I think he's done a pretty good job. I agree with you about the game management thing, though. And it's weird. I think Howie Roseman, that's his name, right? Howie Roseman Jeffrey Lurie. I think they just want a puppet, guys.
Yeah.
The truth is, because they asked him recently if one of them ordered the code red and basically decided to throw that last game. And both of them are denying it. Both of them are denying and said, nope, we didn't do it. They're basically saying that that Doug Peterson decided to go rogue and throw the game, which there's no way that happened.
No!
I think they want a puppet, man. Exactly. He was carrying out orders. They want a puppet, and they know now. I'm not saying this guy's just going to be a total puppet and roll over, but they got somebody that won't ask questions and it won't push back. And the word on the street that was that Doug Peterson, with that Super Bowl clout, was pushing back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was saying no to everything and vetoing everything and not listening to his boss's suggestions. I'm doing that with air quotes.
If they wanted a puppet, they should have brought in Jason Garrett for an interview, you know?
You're right. Yeah. That's a great point.
They should have. And speaking of Jason Garrett, with both of his teams, the Cowboys and the Giants, the NFC East has really turned into, you thought Lurie may be the one sane thing. BK, this has to make you feel good. Everyone in your cul-de-sac has a crazy old man who's running the house.
You know the longest tenured head coach in the NFC East?
Who?
It's Ron Rivera, who was hired on January 1st, 2020. He's the longest tenured head coach. Everyone else is either going into their second year or going into their first year, like this Sriracha cat.
So you got Jerry Jones, you got Snyder.
Yep.
I think I'd rather have Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, let's be real here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd rather still have Lurie over all of them, but I think Rod brings up a good point. And I think if you read in between the lines and you see stuff, you can, because Peterson was fighting back on stuff, and that was more mutual. Then I know people say, oh, yeah, they just say it was mutual. No, I think Peterson, you know, probably resisted during that meeting. And Lurie, if he would have said, hey, I'm down with anything you want to do, they would have continued. But that wasn't going to happen.
No, yeah.
And then Mara and, right?
Yeah, with New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kate Mara, I think, is the owner of that team now.
Something like that.
I think that's how it works. So there you go, some NFC East updates, some Dallas Cowboys coaching staff news, and the Eagles have themselves a new head football coach. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. Let's keep the NFL convo going, but let's preview the games coming up on Sunday. The Final Four in the NFL is upon us. This game means a lot for everyone, of course. It's a conference championship game, but man, this game means more for one player playing on Sunday than anybody else. We'll tell you who that is next.